Our connection this hour was made yesterday, primary election day, polling locations across Western New York, especially Monroe County. Now, throughout the day, WXXI News heard from voters who expressed confusion, frustration, challenges they experienced as they went to try to cast their votes. Some say their polling places had changed, but they weren't notified. Others were confused about the number of ballots they received or were supposed to receive. And at several locations, technology issues slowed down the process. The issues led to long lines and, in some cases, very little physical distancing. Early this morning, the Board of Elections issued a statement which said that the pandemic forced consolidated polling locations, additional training requirements, and three separate elections to be conducted simultaneously. In other words, this stuff is hard. Commissioner said that every concern brought to the Board of Elections, quote, was taken seriously, investigated, and dealt with accordingly, end quote. They said that commissioners and staff conducted site visits throughout the day and immediately addressed concerns that they found. And their statement also said that isolated incidents of human error were found and were corrected. We sent two invitations to the commissioners to join us today to discuss yesterday's primary and special elections, but they did not respond. But voters and candidates did. In this hour, we've got a community conversation about issues at the polls and what needs to change, especially in advance of November's election. I think everyone agrees that having an election during a pandemic is a challenge. But I also think there's agreement that if what happened yesterday happens in November, whew, wow. Well, let's welcome our guest for the hour is Anthony Planzinski, who is the co-founder of La Cumbre, on the line with us now. Anthony, thanks for making the time.
Thanks, Evan. Thanks for having me.
And remind our listeners what La Cumbre is.
La Cumbre was started back in 2013 as a organizing group of Latino organizations and individuals within the greater Rochester and Monroe County regions to help connect Latino leaders, community members, and get the word out there about important topics. One of the areas that we've tackled directly in the years that we've been in existence is voter education and voter outreach and civic engagement as well, so which I imagine brings us here today.
Yeah. Dana Solinsky is a site chair who is joining us at the top of the hour just to express some of what she experienced. Dana, welcome. Thanks for making the time.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Dana, can you tell us a little bit about your experience? Because we're not going to keep it too long, but I know you're generous with your time to tell us what you experienced yesterday. Tell us what your role was and how the day unfolded.
So my role is to be an election inspector, which is one of the bipartisan people who help facilitate people getting to vote. Then on top of that, I'm also a site chair, which means in a bipartisan team, I kind of oversee the site that we were at.
Okay. And as the day unfolded, what were you experiencing with voters, with expected issues, and with the actual issues?
Well, first and foremost, it was really great to see so much voter turnout for a primary. Usually we get kind of low numbers, and it was great to see enthusiastic, engaged people turning out in droves to come vote. So that was a happy, sort of unexpected twist to it. I think nobody could have foreseen the pandemic and trying to work within the confines of that. So, of course, they knew the poll pads would be coming. I don't think they really knew that the pandemic was going to be coupled with poll pads. But it was kind of neat to see the technology of the poll pads instead of the book, because it does eliminate some of the user error and some of the human error. I know there's some isolated cases of human error, but really the computer is kind of taking away some of those issues. So it was nice to kind of engage. There was a lot of younger people I noticed coming out to vote. So I know that technology is something they can engage readily with. Of course, there's going to be a learning curve whenever you introduce something new. There's going to be bugs to work out, as with any form of technology. We had a lot of very patient people. It was a little bit difficult with so many consolidated polling places because of the pandemic to try to keep that 6-foot distance. But pretty much everybody that we saw was really good about keeping their masks on, using hand sanitizer. We were cleaning off the styluses in between each person voting. So, you know, it's tough. It's tough when you have a lot of issues come together in one time. But it's nice to see if we can sort of work out the kinks for the general election.
What is the most important fix or change that needs to be made for November?
I would say just getting more education out there. I know people were kind of scrambling. Things changed at the beginning of May with the presidential primary, and just making sure people are educated about what they're allowed to do, who they're supposed to be voting for. You can only do the best you can, but it's mostly education and making sure people know what to be expected. And this time was kind of an odd one too, because we had two or three ballots for people. And that's, in most people's lifetimes, I don't think anybody's seen that. So I think it'll be a little bit better come the general election, because most people will be knowing what to expect.
Yeah, and some of the comments that we're seeing in various places from voters, let me just read a few.
Sure.
Katie on Twitter says, what was frustrating was many of us didn't receive our ballots until late last week. Unsure if that was true for everyone, however. Sarah says, I voted in the Penfield district and it was awful. Very confusing, no social distancing. I had to stop at five different tables and sign two different things. Nothing seemed to be being cleaned. Pens, tablets, voter covers, and booths were right next to each other. Deb on Twitter says, my absentee ballot didn't arrive in time. My normal polling site closed and consolidated, which I didn't know about. I used the Monroe County Board of Elections site to find my new polling site, which was clean and fast, had tons of sanitizer, did have the easy check-in, and getting the right ballots was easy for me. So kind of a mixed experience there. And we're going to talk later this hour to a member of the Assembly, Harry Bronson, who said that the Board of Elections did not serve democracy yesterday. So those are some of the strong responses as kind of a cross section. What do you make of those comments, Dana?
I can see why people would be frustrated. It's hard when you've gone to the same polling place for years and years, and you get a message in the mail, looks the same as it has every year. You kind of glance at it and go on your way. So I feel like people did get noticed, but when you're so accustomed to a habit of going to the same place, we had a person complain because their polling place was like four houses down and they were at the wrong spot. And they said, I've always voted here. I didn't look at my, they acknowledged they got in paperwork. I didn't look at it because I always go here. So it's tough in a pandemic when you have to consolidate and there's lines that need to be drawn. But the good news is with the poll pads is that it was, people didn't necessarily have to jump from place to place. If they came to the wrong place, the computer basically told them where the right place was. So they weren't driving to two or three different sites to try to figure out where they were supposed to be in the world.
Sure.
But I can see why it would be frustrating, especially with social distancing, as lines started to come during those busy times. There's not a lot of places in the greater Rochester area that can accommodate 50 people standing 6 feet apart in a line.
It's true. And we're not used to seeing long lines in Rochester, even in November, let alone during a primary. So I'm sure that was new for a lot of folks. So before I let you go, last question for you. Do you have any doubt that we can make the changes we need to be ready to handle a pandemic election smoothly in November?
I believe we'll take this as a learning experience. I know the commissioners are taking all the feedback very seriously and going through it. And I think they'll take all that and try to accommodate it. There'll be, hopefully the pandemic will be predominantly over by then. We're headed into phase four, as Governor Cuomo was just saying about 10 minutes ago. So hopefully most of this will be able to be relaxed and people can kind of go back to their normal, which will solve a lot of the issues that were happening this go around. So I have no doubt that it will definitely be a better experience. I can't say with 100% certainty that everybody will have the best experience of their life, but we'll try to make it happen as best we can.
Dana, thanks for sharing your perspective with the program today.
Great. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Dana Selinsky is a site chair and elections inspector, talking about what she experienced. And I just have to say, I certainly respect Dana's experience there, but we cannot expect the pandemic to be mostly over or anything like it in November. There's just no way to know what the next 5 months look like. And I think it's important to expect that we will be in the thick of it still. Anthony Plonzinski, what are you predominantly hearing? I mean, probably every location was a little different. Every voter's experience might be slightly different. But what's your overview of how yesterday went?
Well, I think that's right in terms of every voter's situation is different, especially in areas where the dividing lines of districts are so close. And I think overwhelming, the one thing that I saw in the trend, and one of the things that we did in hearing early on about the election issues is that we put together an emergency report form through La Cumbre on our website. And we received a number of complaints and questions also about a lot of the things that Dana was talking about. But voter confusion, not knowing where to go, not having information, you know, not knowing the process when they got there, the process not really being outlined to them, individuals receiving the wrong ballots at times, individuals thinking that the ballots should contain candidates for certain elections and not having them on there. And, you know, so widespread. And what was really unique in that is that it wasn't a city issue. It wasn't just a town issue or a one town or one city district. It was widespread across the county. And I say, and so to me, in looking at it, it looks like, you know, voter education, but also, you know, systems management really has to be looked at moving forward. As we're looking at the next election and looking at how to right the ship that we currently have. And I say that also with the fact that they're the Board of Election staff, as well as the individuals who work on election day, they bust their butt every year. They're doing a community service, and, you know, we thank them for that. But, you know, improvements have to be made in different areas.
Yeah, and so 2 points there, and then we'll start collecting listener feedback. Listeners, if you want to call the program, want to know how it went for you voting yesterday, if you voted yesterday, 844-295-TALK. It's toll-free, 844-295-8255. Email the program connections at WXXI.org. First of all, Anthony, how much do you give credence to the idea that, well, this was somewhat inevitable? It's a pandemic.
I give some credence to that, in that I will 100% side with the Board of Elections in that they were limited in the amount of polling locations that they were able to host. And so I think there's a challenge out there to the Board of Elections, but then there's a challenge out there to our elected and governmental leaders moving forward to understand the importance of elections, the importance of elections that run smoothly, and to really figure out our building situations. And I think that historically we have relied on schools, parishes, and other common meeting spaces that have been severely restricted and not allowing individuals to come in. High rises were limited, nursing homes, places that were common landmarks within neighborhoods were not available to the Board of Elections for them to open their sites. And so I think anyone who's calling balls and strikes and really thinking about this in a fair way has to acknowledge the fact that they were playing with one hand tied behind their back in this case. And so that was very limiting. The other part is that the pandemic didn't happen yesterday. Well, you know, we've been in this for months. I think, you know, The show was, you know, pre-timed by Governor Cuomo's press conference. Those have been happening daily up until a certain point. And so I think we have to do a better job of taking signals and putting things on the ground and putting the right mechanisms in place to put our people in the right positions to be successful.
And Anthony, you talk about knowing that the BOE had to consolidate polling sites. Barb in Wheatland emails the program to say, I'm curious why they chose to limit and consolidate the number of polling sites, thereby creating larger numbers of people at one site. Hopefully they will not do that for the general election in November. So explain to Barb and others who are listening, Anthony, why they had to do that.
So in this case, they had to limit the polling sites because a lot of these sites are volunteered to the Board of Elections, and they are allowing folks to come in and out of their places of establishment. So if it's a business, if it's a firehouse, if it's a library, or it's a high rise, they need permission from the management companies, permission from local government, permissions from other individuals. And if the Board of Elections doesn't receive those permissions, then they're not going to be allowed to use those spaces, and those spaces start to tie up. And so if you can't get folks in there, then you have to go to plan, you know, from plan A to plan B, C, D. And I think I've heard stories of even E all the way down, you know, the plans in terms of trying to fit those areas in there. And so if there's no location, there's no spot to vote. And so that's why you saw a lot of voters not going to normal locations because they were limited. I mean, this is the first election I've seen where you had 10 to 12 EDs, election districts, being serviced out of one area, and in some cases, very tight quarters, as was the case at the community place where I voted.
Okay, and, you know, so when we say yesterday had some things to clear up for November, the risk is making it seem like, well, yesterday was the warm-up and November's the real deal. Whereas, you know, we've been, I think, on this program, very clear that we as journalists take very, very seriously every election. there's probably way too much emphasis on national and general elections or presidential elections, where so much of governance happens at the local level, and so much of those decisions get made in the primaries. So I don't want to diminish yesterday. It matters, and it matters to get it right, even if there's a pandemic, and it matters to have high standards, even if there's a pandemic. Having said all of that, if what happened yesterday happens again in November, Anthony Plonczynski, what happens?
It should not happen in November. I think, you know, if you give a pass, right, and I'm not saying that that's my statement here, right, you give a pass and say this is a trial run, then November has to go off immaculately. Like, it just, we have to understand where we are. People have to pull together. They have to work together, you know, in a nonpartisan leadership level and figure out where we can expand voter interest, because the pandemic has showed that people are also stir crazy in their house. And one of the you know, highlights of what's happened is that they got to vote, whether it through by mail or in person. And so there's an interest out there. So November has to be better, and we have to learn from those. And I think that there's a lot of argument out there that there were some unforced errors in this election year in terms of polling sites opening up. Like, having limited polling sites is one thing, but then not opening up on time, not being prepared for large crowds. I think that there were some calculations that were made that were wrong, and I think that we have to look at what they were and figure out how November happens. But November, if this is the trial run, then November has to go off very well, and we see what happens if it doesn't. I think widespread confusion, widespread problems mean November we all have to pull together.
Let me get Mercedes in Rochester first on the phone. Go ahead, Mercedes.
Hi there. Good afternoon. I helped transport seniors from the Flamboyanas. The Flamboyanas is certainly a hot topic, considering that the residents didn't get noticed that their poll sites had changed. So here we are scrambling, trying to get folks transportation there. So I helped transport close to 25 to 30 seniors. When we got to the site, I think it may have been my fifth trip in, the interpreter wasn't there. And as you know, the Flamboyan is predominantly is a Latino site. And we waited about an hour and a half. The location, you know, considering the fact that the motivator behind moving sites was COVID, to find, you know, that the inspectors and some of the folks that were there weren't really abiding by that was very concerning to me. The booths were close to each other, but what was the most critical part, I think the most shocking part, was to find that Hilda Etcher's name wasn't on that ballot. Now, we went back and forth with the person there and said, no, she is absolutely in this district, and this is my fifth trip with these seniors, only to find out that all their votes are now lost because Hilda's name wasn't on the ballot. They insisted on the fact that she wasn't there, and told me that if I had any issues, I had to call. And that was very concerning. We had seniors that were up at 6 o'clock in the morning at those poll sites, and there was just no care on their part to help assist in resolving the issues. I made calls to the Board of Elections, and again, my calls were at noon, were returned at 7 o'clock at night, and was told that they would get new ballots. But it was just disconcerting that the lack of attention, the lack of care, when there's something so critical like someone's name not being, or the entire, I think it was the Senate, wasn't even on that ballot.
Anthony Plonczynski, can you respond to some of that?
I was following closely the issues that were going on over at the Flamboyanas and also in other places. And so, you know, this goes to training and this goes to setup, right? And some of these election areas with the packed crowds and individuals coming in and out, some areas had pre-printed ballots and other areas had ballots being printed on the spot. I'm assuming, because I don't run any of the internal workings of the Board of Elections, that was due to the complications of district coverage. And the Flamboyanas is in a very unique place, like a lot of parts in the district, where the 55th Senate District and the 56th Senate District really butt up next to each other. And I wholeheartedly believe that it was, the idea that somebody signed in, the ballot process was going, the ballot was printed, and it was handed to the wrong person. And so, you know, well, how does that happen, right? And from my experience, there was a comparison of sign-in and receipts. The receipt name and the number had a cue to it, and then the way it was being printed out had a cue to it. And so for that to happen, right, is one thing that's a problem. To dissect it and have full transparency about what's going on is another. And so I think, you know, to Mercedes' point here is that, you know, she shouldn't have to wait hours upon hours to get responses or be held through a bureaucratic, you know, wing. I think one of the first things that has to happen is like, what is the process of transparency moving forward? It has to be more than just a press release. You know, there's no way that we're as a community going to accept the spike the ball. I'm using a lot of sports metaphors today. I guess I'm in the mood because I miss sports. But, you know, they're coming out here and saying that, you know, oh, all was fine. You know, don't mind what's happening behind the curtain. Like, we can't do that. And I think that that breeds confusion because I'm almost positive that the board can come out and really outline where the issues are. But then the hard work comes where they're going to have to get down and it's in the nitty gritty, highlight where the issues happen, how did they happen, and what's going to be done in a transparent fashion to fix them. Because November will not go well if they think that they're going to hide behind the shadows with, and individuals are watching. We're in a social media world. This should not be new news to anybody.
Mercedes, what do you want to see happen next?
Well, here's the thing is, I think that there has to be some level of accountability for what happened yesterday. It was just too many things that were occurring. It's a large Latino population, and the majority of the voters were voting for Hilda, and that was a determining factor if she's going to continue on to the November election. So in my mind, you know, I can't help to think that this was voter suppression. The countless calls, even addressing the fact that Osama Llanos was removed and not even the building management was aware of that. That, to me, just screams issues. This just and our concerns were put on deaf ears. No one has returned any of our concerns about that. And that's troubling to me.
But let me ask Mercedes then. I mean, suppression is a strong word. So do you feel that that is based on intent or incompetence?
I would hope that it's incompetent, but my gut feeling tells me there's something more to this. Hmm. It's just too many events that occurred for it not to be. And I'm just telling you from my personal experience, what I have witnessed, what we experienced, you know, within a week and a half of us finding out that the Flamboyanes was removed. It was just too many events not to, again, I could only speak for myself and what we experienced. And it's difficult to explain to a senior what this was all about. We removed seniors from a safe environment. If the Flamboyanes was because it's a multi-dwelling, well, guess what? We've set up some fantastic COVID tents in different sites, you know, for testing. We could have done the same thing in the Flamboyanes because they have a massive courtyard. We could have accommodated, but instead we took them to Vienna Street, which is half the size of the Flamboyanes, and exposed them to more. It just didn't make sense to me. I mean, if you were to look at the site, you would say, yeah, this is probably not a good idea to put a site here. It just didn't make sense.
Mercedes, thank you for sharing the experience. And Mercedes' experience is unfortunately not unique to yesterday. There was a lot of frustration. And, you know, interestingly enough, Anthony Plunzinski-Figueroa, the complaints about this primary and special elections have not just been yesterday. There's been a lot of very frustrated voters contacting WXXI News saying they either didn't get the ballots that they requested, you know, to vote by mail or had issues voting by mail. That's supposed to be the easy part. Am I wrong there? I mean, am I generalizing too much here?
No, you're not. And I mean, there are a number of individuals who received their ballots for the election on Monday, and they had to be postmarked by Tuesday the next day. And though you were later told that you could deliver your ballots to the polling place, I imagine me saying this on the air right now, it's probably the first time anybody has ever heard the fact that they can do that. And unless you're a political insider or you're steeped into campaigns and you're working them day in and day out, you're not going to know those things. And so I think that we had, you know, I think that there was a bit of a there was a bit of an approach to this year as if it was a regular election, when in fact it's not a regular election, and the communication should have been increased, and the, you know, the level, the frequency, and the vigorousness of them, you know, how, you know, to the point of, you know, maybe coming on the air, maybe coming in places and talking to individuals about this. And so the fact that they receive ballots later, you know, I think that it sounds like there was a desperate need for more frontline staff at the Board of Elections, and that wasn't there either. And so I know that we've had a community conversation about managers, you know, being hired at the Board of Election, but it sounded like we needed workers. And so to get the ballots processed and get them on the ground and get them out there. I mean, I don't know how we can honestly say individuals getting their ballots on Monday and then being told that, well, just for keepsake, make sure you go in person and vote, so that your vote counts. That can't be okay.
No,
we have to do better.
Yeah,
we have to do better.
That is certainly a mess, and to send that kind of a message. No, so 2 points there, though, Anthony, when you talk about, you know, needed more workers. Here's an email from Deb who says that she was a poll worker this time around and has been since 2016. She says, to be honest, I don't think anyone expected the turnout to be so high yesterday. Early voting was slow. I had about 3 people per hour when I was working early voting, so there wasn't the indication that engagement was going to be high. Do you agree with that, Anthony?
I would ask, what's the, you know, one of the things that as campaigners that we do, and this is putting my campaign hat on, is that we're studying lists, you know, open transparency, getting lists from the Board of Elections, figuring out who has voted, who hasn't, when do they vote. And the numbers coming in, there were signals. There were plenty of signals. Just look back at the 9th of June. We went through the school elections, and the governor has issued multiple executive orders that expanded school elections. So we had some acknowledgement. And Board of Elections across the state run those elections in many parts. We had signals from a lot of places that turnout was astronomical. I'm talking not just double, triple, quadruple in places. So I think that we have to tend to the messages that we're getting. So no, I don't agree that it was all of a sudden a shock. I mean, even early voting numbers were higher than previous years. We had signals. We actually have to pay attention to them, right?
Okay, well, and so you also mentioned the community debate over managers. I think you mean the 6 election Board of Elections deputies that was proposed, passed, vetoed by the county executive, and then overridden by the legislature. Is that what you were referring to?
Yeah.
I mean, so I bring that up because, you know, I wonder now, there are 2 new elections commissioners, and this is a very, very important job, and I think the community is seeing, based on the results yesterday and what we've been dealing with during this, you know, the last week or so, when people have had questions about where to vote, voting by mail, et cetera, these jobs really matter. Is there a concern in the confidence in the commissionerships? I mean, we reached out to the commissioners. We did invite them on this program multiple times. They have not gotten back to us. I'm sure they're very, very busy, and we respect that, and we respect them. But does this undermine confidence in them being able to do the job for November?
I think right now, yeah. I mean, if you're judging the community outcry, right, you're looking at what's going on. There is a judgment about what's going on and what's happening. And so that's why I really challenge the commissioners. Like, this, a press release is not going to do it, right? You have to explain what's going on. Mm-hmm. And if you can't explain what's going on, that's a bigger problem. But I think that verdict is left to be out. There's a window here, right? There's an opening. Ballots have to be re-canvassed. We still have, as of today, 60,000 absentee ballots. Unheard of, right? They're dealing with unheard of numbers. So there's an explanation for things. There's a process. But I think here and now is a time for individuals to either rise to the occasion or not, and figure out what help do they need, and figure out what processes do they need or not. And I think the confidence, you know, actions speak louder than words. And we judge by results. And so I think the results have to come through. Right now, you know, I'm going to go back to my sports analogies. We're in the 5th inning, and they're losing. Well, there's 9 innings. Let's see what happens.
Yeah. Edward writes and says, Evan, on more than one show over the years, you have reminded us of the famous quote from Tammany Hall's Boss Tweed. Well, which political faction benefits from yesterday's chaos? Edward, let me just to clarify, the quote from Boss Tweed, and I may be summarizing it because I'm stealing it from Professor Larry Lessig, who's used it a lot. Boss Tweed used to say, "I don't care who does the voting as long as I do the nominating." He controlled the primaries. They were called money primaries. It was a massive restriction of access, exclusion, controlling who gets to run, who gets to vote in the primaries. Then you get to choose your candidates for the primaries, as Boss Tweed used to say. Let anybody who wants vote in the general in November. That's fine. I've done all the work to get the people I want in position who will serve my interests. And that's why primary elections do matter. I'm not saying we've got Boss Tweed in this town, not by any means, but there's been a long history of voters, I think, overlooking the importance of local elections and the primaries, where a lot of the decisions get made. So the allegation that I'm hearing from Anthony, or the concern from Anthony, the concern from so many voters, listeners, in a moment you'll hear from Assembly Member Harry Bronson, the concern is not, that, at least not that I'm hearing, that it's corruption, it's more, you know, was it incompetence? And if it was incompetence, we can't afford that because, Anthony, we have a White House that is already telling people that November's results may not be valid, that voting by mail is not safe and secure, and that if you go into November with the White House telling this country that the results may not be valid, especially if they don't go a certain way, my view is you better have this locked down. Every district, every polling site. I don't care if it's a pandemic, you better be ready for this because there's already an effort to undermine it, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's why the answer here is full transparency, full openness, more communication, getting the word out there. Because you know, what Mercedes brought to her comments was a lot of questions that she didn't have answers for. And so when you allow those questions to catch like wildfire without any answers, they're going to become problematic. And so there may very well be strong justifications for what happened. And, you know, user error does happen. In other elections, have there been problems? Yes. To this degree, arguably not. But this is the COVID era. But when you hide behind shadows or you're not transparent and you're just lost in the work sometimes, I would even give credit that the board is overwhelmed and can't respond. You can't afford not to respond. This is a very public facing position. It needs to be a fair process for all of all parties. And they have the power to do that. And they have the power to put that message out there. And so I think the real challenge for the Board of Elections is, are they in fact going to do it? Because I think the politics of yesterday hiding behind the shadows is not out there. We're in a very front-facing call-out culture. And guess what? Folks want to know what's going on.
Let me bring in Assemblymember Harry Bronson. And the reason we've got the Assemblymember Bronson on the program, I want to make clear to listeners, we reached out to both Harry Bronson and his opponent in the primary, Alex Udelson. Both accepted our invitation to join us just for a short while on the program to share their comments. And before the program, Mr. Udelson told us that some work had come up, wasn't able to join us. He appreciated the invitation, and we appreciate that, but we wanted to make sure there was an offer for equal time. So first of all, Harry Bronson, welcome back to the program, and thanks for making the time for us.
Thank you, Evan. Glad to participate.
You were very pointed. In fact, of all the people that I heard talking about what happened yesterday, last night in our live coverage, your remarks were the most pointed. I believe you said that the Board of Elections did not serve democracy yesterday. Those are strong words. Tell us why you feel that way.
I strongly stand behind those words, and I do because, you know, I have been involved in a lot of elections. I've run my own campaign several times. I've been campaign managers for other people. I have never experienced the volume of complaints from voters that I experienced yesterday. Voters who were reporting that they were given the wrong ballot and they were demanding that, you know, I know where I live, and, I live in the 138th Assembly District. Why am I getting a ballot that doesn't have Harry Bronson's name on it? And we can say this all happened in the context of COVID, and I appreciate that. But we all, when these people called us, we could go on the BOE website And clearly, they're listed as living in the 138th Assembly District. So why did some of them have to demand over and over again to get the right ballot? Or one gentleman who left the polling place at 7 o'clock in the morning, ultimately went back at 9 o'clock and was able to successfully get a ballot to cast his vote. So that the confusion over the new polling places, which disenfranchised the people who are low income, people with disabilities and seniors, not a good job of communicating to them where the new locations were, and also dealing with what the transportation issues might be since they're not voting in their high rise or in their complex. Just issue after issue voters faced yesterday. And indeed, the Board of Elections they let down the voters and did not serve democracy.
To be clear for listeners, if you're wondering and hadn't seen the results, Assemblymember Bronson is not making this complaint from a position of trailing in his election. His results last night were exactly what his campaign would have hoped for, I think an 18-point lead. So this is not a candidate who's saying, well, this didn't go well, blame the process. It went very well for Harry Bronson, but he's saying the process still has to be better. This has to be the kind of thing that voters can trust. So what do you do about it? I don't say what do you do. I'm the general you, Harry. What does this community do? What does the BOE do? What must be done next to avoid this again?
Yeah, well, first of all, we still have to finish this election. So that means there's a lot of absentee ballots that have to be counted. And I would like to have the court system oversee that counting to make sure that it goes smoothly and that every voter, their vote is counted. So that's number one. Number two, we need to look at what happened and try to figure out where did this break down? Was it in the training mechanism? Was it in the failure to follow standard protocols that have been followed in previous elections? Was it a lack of communication to the general public and to candidates? We need to look at everything that happened and figure out where did it break down and then correct that for November.
Now, does that mean you want the same leadership involved here? I mean, this is a moment where the party is going to have to decide, the Democratic Party at least. I mean, there's new commissioners. Mm-hmm. I'm not hearing any talk on the GOP side of making any changes. The Democrats are in that process of making a determination of whether they want the leadership to stay or if something different is going to happen. It has been very heated. What do you think should happen?
Oh, well, what I think should happen is the process that we now have in place, because a lot of Democrat committee members fought for a fair process and fought for their right to cast their vote for the next commissioner. So, I would want that election to be as transparent and responsive as any other elections. So who that ends up being, I think, is left to the committee members to make that decision. And I'll make my decision as a committee person. No matter what happens in that, we have to correct the mistakes that were made, not only on primary election day yesterday, but also mistakes that were made throughout the early voting process. And some of those things had been corrected. So I heard earlier on your show that the commissioners had said that they responded to some of the issues. And indeed, they had. Mm-hmm. So I give them credit for doing that. But there's a lot of mistakes that were made that need to be rectified.
On the Democratic side, the current commissioner is LaShawna Boose, who, again, we invited on this program. I imagine it's a very busy day. We do hope to be able to talk to her about what happened yesterday. And I'm sure this is a massive, massive challenge for anyone in this job, let alone someone who's doing the job essentially for the first time. Is there enough evidence from yesterday that convinces you that she should not continue in the job, Harry, or would you be open to supporting her?
Well, let me answer it this way. I'm not prepared to make that decision right now because I don't know who the other candidates are going to be. We have, I think, the election for that position is July 25th, I believe. What I want to do right now is let's ensure that the balance of this primary election, that every voter's vote is counted. Let's get that done. And then let's look at where barriers were put in place that prevented people from having easy access to voting. And let's correct that so that we have those measures in place for the November election.
30 seconds. I'll ask you the same thing, Harry, that I asked Anthony Ponsinski-Figueroa. And frankly, what I asked Dana Selinsky, a site chair who joined us earlier, are you confident that we can have an election that voters will be able to trust in November?
I am. I think that, you know, some of the examples of problems we saw yesterday, you know, some of them can be addressed by just going back to previous protocols that were in place, and let's get those back in place. And I think if we work together, we can make sure that democracy is transparent and that every voter has their vote count.
Assemblymember Harry Bronson joining us, and he's right. We've got to wait to count all of the ballots, but a strong night for him. And now the question is just making sure that the process continues to be transparent, fair. Thanks for making the time, Harry, and I know we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, thank you, Evan.
Assemblymember Harry Bronson joining us. Anthony Plonzinski-Figueroa, who is the co-founder of La Cumbre, is joining us. And in our last couple of minutes now, let's just make sure that we're zeroed in on the steps here. So, I think, you know, Harry Bronson makes an important point, Anthony. We're all sort of like looking ahead to November saying, well, what can we learn from this? His point is, and I know you've made the same point, this thing ain't over right now. Not only his race, but we've got a primary election that we've got thousands upon thousands of ballots to count to make sure that they are counted accurately, to make sure the process is done right. We're halfway through. I mean, this is even the primary is not done. I keep talking about it as if it's done. It's not done.
Yeah, and it's so unconventional of the year. Everyone, even seeing the results last night, you know, congratulations are going across and folks who don't understand and people are seeing. But the amount of ballots out there in some cases are more that have been returned, right, are more votes than actually were cast in some instances in the current election in early voting and yesterday in person. And so it's such a surreal moment for folks. And I think that's where the public can if they understand more and the education comes that they can sympathize with, right, and empathize. But it's going to be important that education happens and that we do a better job of putting it out there for them, because we have a whole process. And so that's why in making the comments earlier, it's that we are still in this election. There's still an opportunity to have full transparency. And if it's me, I'm like, open up everything and have a process, call in assistance, do whatever you can to make sure that the public trust is restored. Because I think arguably right now, a lot of folks would say that trust is lacking.
Thanks for making the time for the program, Anthony. I know it's important that we get this right. And to be clear, I think just as a journalist, I do have confidence in the system. The fact that we can be critical, we can learn from errors and improve it is an example that I think the people in charge will do that because it's too important not to. And I think there's a lot of eyes and ideas out there. So thanks for making time and joining the program, and let's talk soon.
I agree. Thanks, Evan.
Anthony Plonzinski, co-founder of La Cumbre, joining us in this conversation. And I'll say that again. I mean, we're sort of tough on what happened yesterday, but there's so many good people who work at the polls who spend their time making sure that everyone's got a chance to vote, who learn, get trained. They're going to be there in November, and we salute everybody who does that. And I think everyone involved will learn, and journalists will keep asking the questions we need to ask because it's too important not to. More Connections coming up next.